Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the Professor Hinkle to my Hans Gruber, it's Dan. Are you out there tonight, Dan?
I'm way out there tonight, Scott.
I bet you are. And before we go any further, since I mentioned Hinkle, we are also joined by Tinker Bell herself, Vicky. Welcome, Vicky. Vicky. Did we lose Vicky already?
Vicky's had a lot to drink tonight, so she's a little bit off.
You know, that's a really bad omen if you're missing a
Apparently, kid. I hit the mute button somehow. So.
So basically, Jason's not here, so you had to make a Jason mistake.
That's the first time that's happened.
All right, I'm telling myself we're not going to start over. Anyway, so. Here's the story, kids out there. Tonight, we were supposed to finally do our latest podcast covering, like, the CW superhero shows that we normally do. You know, the latest episodes of Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow, which I think aired, like 2 weeks ago at this point. But one member of our little all-star squad is traveling, and the other, we're guessing he's busy because he's the one, you know, quote-unquote, who has a life and such, whatever. So, I'm thinking we're probably not going to get to that discussion maybe until sometime next year. Which, again, isn't that big a deal since they don't all come back until about 3 weeks into January anyway. So, it's not the worst thing in the world that we keep delaying this podcast, I think.
One of them got eaten by Killer Croc.
That would be nice. So... But this also means we get to do a podcast where some of our non-superhero show fans might actually listen for a change, which would be kind of sweet. And I had this stupid thought earlier when we were trying to figure out what the heck we were going to do tonight, if anything. I was scrolling through the Facebook news feed and I saw a promotion for the upcoming webisode season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the little web series with Jerry Seinfeld, which is like one of the best uses of the internet outside of cat videos and porn, quite frankly. And it occurred to me when I saw Seinfeld on screen that wouldn't it be kind of funny, or at least a challenge for us, that for this podcast, which, since Jason's not here to say it, it's our 150th podcast. I don't know if that's considered a special number or not. That's up to you guys. I have no idea.
I consider it to be very special.
Yeah. It was one of those things, like, when you bought comics, like, when it was an issue, like, 150, you're like, they would sort of try to make it a big deal, but it wasn't really.
Anyway. I'm sure it's good enough for Galactus to show up, at least, I think.
Right. So, I thought, why don't we try to do a podcast, which pretty much doesn't have much of an outline or preparation, and we don't really have a real idea of exactly what we're going to talk about, you know. Basically, seeing Seinfeld inspired me to suggest that we do a podcast about nothing, pretty much. So, let's see what happens. This could be a podcast that's over in 15 minutes, or it could take a week. I don't know. But you guys seemed like you were up for the challenge, especially Vicky, who is all ready and raring to go. Right, Vicky?
Yes.
Yes, now that she's learned where the mute button is, whatever. I think our goal is to try to beat your cuckoo clock from going off, or whatever it is, or grandfather clock. So, however, since we still call this the Serious TV Drama Podcast, and you can even forget about the serious and drama part if we want, I thought we should at least make some effort to stick to TV-related matters as opposed to arguments over regional-based pizza and such that we usually get into, especially when Vicky and her awful excuse for pizza isn't on the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But, so, first thought I had was, we often make references to our favorite this and our favorite that on this podcast, on Facebook, and everywhere else. But I don't actually know what either of you to what your favorite, a couple of what your favorite shows are, like of all time, for example. So I thought it would be kind of fun or interesting for people to hear and compare their own mental lists of what are your top three all-time TV shows. And this doesn't matter what the genre or the era, it doesn't matter. It's just what are your all-time faves, you know, the one, you know, this is like written in stone kind of stuff. So I know you were not, I don't know if you were expecting that question, but I figured you probably already have an idea. It wouldn't take you that much time to think about. That's why I'm stalling right here for a minute or two to give you some time to think. I can already expect, I know at least one or two on Dan's thing, so I want to go to Vicky because I genuinely have no idea what Vicky's going to say. I'm almost dreading what she might say, actually.
Why? Because I'm a girl.
Yes, right, because I'm such the sexist on this podcast.
You're a girl?
Wow. So, Vicky, other than, you know, Charlie's Angels and the Bionic Woman, no, just kidding. So, what... What are your three favorite TV shows of all time?
The first one that comes to mind would have to be Lost.
Is that your favorite or your third favorite?
I don't know exactly where these rank, but these are kind of just the shows that come to my mind immediately. The first one I obviously thought of was Lost, just because it kind of got me involved, you know, in more than just kind of passively watching TV. You know, I started listening to Jay and Jack, you know, their podcast, and from there it kind of just spiraled out
of control.
yeah, exactly. To, you know, how many shows I watch now, and I'm just, yeah. So yeah, and I think it hit at the right time because it spawned all these forums and all this conversation and all these like the augmented reality games or whatever that they had going on at the same time, and that just enhanced the experience of the show.
Right. I would agree that one of the key things about Lost is what you just said, when it came out. If Lost had been done even 5 years earlier, it still would have been a big deal, but it wouldn't have had the seismic impact on so many people that it did when it came out, because of the internet, because of and what you just said. But I knew Lost was going to be one of them. I'm more curious what your other two are going to be. That's where the mystery lies with you tonight, Vicky.
Yeah. Yeah, I would also have to say Doctor Who. Oh. I'm fairly new to the series. I've only kind of started watching, I don't know, maybe the past 6 or 7 years or so. But I just love it. I'm not too crazy about some of the current seasons. You know, I didn't exactly love Matt Smith, and I like Peter Capaldi a little more, but I think just the fact that this show has lasted so long is a testament to why it's such a great show.
I've still never seen one episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, you're missing out, especially, you know, the David Tennant seasons and the, you know, Christopher Eccleston season. Those are my favorite. They're my favorite doctors. I've seen episodes here and there of kind of the quote unquote classic Who, before Christopher Eccleston, but even those episodes are really good.
You see, I'm a completist, so I'd have to like go back and try to find all like the black and white ones from the '60s and stuff. There's only like 50 years worth of Doctor Who, right?
Something yeah.
crazy.
Like yeah, yeah, 50 plus. Yeah, the 50th was about, I think, 3 years ago. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've only seen one episode of The Doctor Who, the first one with Christopher Eccleston. So, but I, you know, he's always cool. So, that's really all I remember from it.
I will point out that is actually impossible to be a completist because there are the quote unquote missing episodes.
Right.
Before the BBC decided, we might want these episodes in the future.
That's interesting. There's a lot of TV that was actually lost, like specifically in the 60s, because they didn't think to keep certain things.
Oh yeah.
I mean, obviously, like in America, most comedies or dramas were kept. But for example, you can't find like every episode of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson from the 60s. A lot of that stuff is gone. I mean, some they were able to hold on to, but a lot of it's gone, and that's a shame because a lot of that's like almost historical records of stuff. So I imagine with the BBC and related, they probably lost a lot of material as well because it just didn't occur to them. It was more about budgets and costs than anything else, I guess.
Yeah, every couple of years they might an episode might pop up, and they've done like kind of animations to. Like recreate some of these missing episodes, but yeah.
All right, so we got Lost, you got Doctor Who, and what's your number three one? And if it's Once Upon a Time, we're kicking off the podcast, just telling you that right now.
Oh gosh, no.
It is Once Upon a Time, she loves it.
It's Once Upon Gotham. No,
I'm going to throw a wild card and say Leverage.
Whoa! Wow.
Hey, for the listeners and hosts of the podcast, can you explain what Leverage is, please?
I cannot believe. Go ahead. Wow.
It's basically this group of thieves. They each have their specialty. Like one's a hacker, one's like a thief, one's a con artist. And they kind of just come together. And basically end up doing, basically become, I don't know,
they rob a casino.
No, yeah. No, no. You know, it's,
they become advocates for people who basically get railroaded by these big corporations and whatever.
Dan, you know what it is? It's, think of like a really slick talking, less action-y version of the A-Team. And that's kind of what Leverage is. I'm actually a fan of the show myself. I never foresaw it being mentioned.
I don't know. It's just one of those shows where if I see an episode on, I'm like, oh, I love that episode. That's such a good one. And, I'll end up watching it. So
it's, you know what it is? It's a fun show.
It is.
And it's probably the most fun we've ever seen Timothy Hutton having for most of his career, since he always tends to be kind of a downer. I like Leverage a lot. And it's funny when Dan made the casino comment, like the kind of like the Ocean's 11 kind of thing, the episodes tend to have that caper feel. It is kind of like that in a way, where it's an elaborate con, which is in that Ocean's 11 kind of feel. So they do, and they pull that off more often than not on that show. So that's a fun pick. I like that one. Okay, you get to stay on the podcast now.
Good to know.
I wish they hadn't canceled it, actually. But
oh yeah.
But did it? If I remember correctly, it felt like it had an ending though. It felt like they sort of resolved.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, basically, the two of the characters kind of went off, and the other members basically stepped off and took over.
Oh, and just since you're here and you're kind of fulfilling like the more of the geeky part of the podcast, because you keep bringing up geeky stuff, we should point out for geeky fans out there that one of the people on that show, they'll probably know best from Angel.
Yeah, Christian Kane.
Yeah, Christian Kane, who played a very interesting character on Angel, kind of a bad guy, but sometimes a good guy, but then a bad guy again. But maybe he's a good guy. You're never really clear with that character. he's kind of he's the muscle, if I recall, on Leverage. But he's actually a lot of fun. What works for that show is there's a lot of fun chemistry between the characters, and that's why I think it works really well. That's why I enjoy it a lot myself.
Yeah.
All right. So, Daniel, I guess we can switch it over to you. I think I know what at least one, maybe two of your three will be. I'm not sure, but I figure maybe I'll be surprised. I don't know if we ever had this conversation or not before.
Well, of course, probably my all-time favorite show would be the Netflix series Daredevil. It doesn't get much better than that. I'm just fucking with you.
Son of a bitch. Dexter.
Okay, for me, since I'm slightly older than Vicky, I'd have to say X-Files would probably have to be one of my top three shows, just because it had the same kind of thing, like the first thing that really grabbed me in that way. Not that there wasn't a bunch of stuff I watched before that when I was younger, but that was the first thing where I just got completely hooked on it, and then watched it on DVD every 6 months as it came out until I was able to catch up with the live series being on. So X-Files is good shit.
Yeah, I mean, that was when I knew how to be on your list, because you've obsessively spoken about X-Files ever since I've known you, to the point where you kept watching when I kept telling you to watch other new things. Like, no, I'm watching X-Files. And I was like, really? 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 Yeah. All right, fine. But it's a good show.
Yeah.
I loved it when it was on.
Yeah. And I could have picked, Twin Peaks or something like that, too. But, I mean, X-Files has to edge it out. It just, there's just more to it. And, it's meant more to me.
All right. So, that one I was sure of. There's one I'm thinking of is probably on your list, and I have no idea what your number three would be. So, what's next?
It would be the April 30th, 2015 baseball game where the Twins beat the White Sox 12-2. That's just kind of an important thing to me. And then three days later, they beat them 13-3. So it's just one of those things that sticks with you. It's good shit. No, seriously. Number two, I think I would. I guess I'd have to go with Lost. The effect that it's had on my life just can't be overstated. It can't be overstated.
Yeah, it could be understated. You could have could not said anything.
I mean, the show isn't perfect, and I don't think the quality is quite up to some other shows. I mean, not quality, but just the consistency, I guess. But just for the effect it's had on my life, and I wouldn't be talking to you two ass clowns if it wasn't for Lost. So there's that.
Did you say ass clown or ass cloud?
Ass
cloud is fascinating. Ass clowns.
It's like ass clown with a lispy pluralization.
Speaking of Galactus, wow,
Galactus. Yes.
There's an inside joke no one will get. Okay, go on.
And there's a lot of shows that are up there, but I think I'd have to pick Battlestar Galactica as my third of my top three. Depending on my mood, any of them could be at the top, favorite show ever. Some of the Star Treks can be way up there, but I really, really, really like Battlestar Galactica, beginning to end. Even though it's very dark and depressing, at the time that I started watching it, I was in a spot that was more dark and depressing than, relatively speaking to what the characters were going through, but the show was actually a little bit cheery compared to what I was going through at the time, so. It kind of stuck with me, and then when I rewatched it last year, I'm just like, okay, this is really good. So,
That's a solid choice. All right. I guess I should do this now. I'm probably
Scott.
Yeah, I'm not going to be putting Lost in my three, mainly because Lost did not have quite the effect on my life that it had on the two of you and other people from that grouping of folks that I'm not part of. So, I mean, I really like the show. Obviously, I love the show. I have a cabinet displayed devoted to it. I have auction items from the show that I had to sell to pay rent and stuff. But I just can't put it in my top three anymore. I have too many issues with what happened in the final season to still keep it in that secret spot, I think. Look, number one, it's gonna have for me. It's gonna have to be Breaking Bad. because I don't know of any other show that I felt affected me so much and was so not just was so well done quality and was so wildly entertaining at the same time, and how it balanced plot and character better than possibly any show I've ever seen, right from the beginning right through the end, especially that final season. It's just, you know, it's Breaking Bad, and it even has a spinoff, which is a great show in of itself, but Breaking Bad's got to be, I don't know if Breaking Bad's ever going to get knocked off the throne for me anytime soon. I've seen a lot of good shows over the last couple of years, or great shows even, but nothing I would say unseats Breaking Bad for me.
Yeah, and I definitely think it's like the best, like, you know, like just best show that I've seen, you know, out of all of them.
And I still have yet to do a rewatch since it ended. But for some reason, some shows I just, like, I haven't done that with Lost either. I've never rewatched Lost since it ended, even though I've got all the DVDs and Blu-rays, whatever. They're just, you know, gathering dust now, I guess. But eventually I'll get to them. Now,
well, I just heard a weird noise. It was like the devil slamming a door somewhere. What the fuck's up with that? But Vicky, have you seen Breaking Bad? Like much of it, or?
I actually have not.
Yeah.
Because I think it might have started while I was in college, and so, you know, I didn't have a DVR or anything, so I had to, you know, watch stuff live.
Bullshit. Vicky was cooking meth while she was in college, and it hit too close to home, so. Kind of like on June 22nd, 2015, when the Twins beat the White Sox 13-2.
Let's make it clear for our listeners, Dan is getting on Vicky's nerves because she's a White Sox fan from Chicago. You're actually taking the joke inside baseball jokes too far now, when they're literally inside baseball jokes. It's not pretty awesome, actually, now that I think about it. But moving away from Breaking Bad, I'm really going to pick shows that I can watch at any point in time. Doesn't matter what time of day or night it is. Doesn't matter what episode it is. If I happen to put on a TV and it's on, you can almost guarantee I'm going to sit there and watch it, which is the epitome of what TV is, I guess. So after Breaking Bad, I'm going to go with The Twilight Zone. I don't think there's really been a finer use of the television medium before or since. It's fucking Twilight Zone. It's perfect storytelling and except for one weird season, in these nice little 23-minute nuggets. It's how much iconic stuff from The Twilight Zone do we still know and reference today? Even people make comments or references they don't even realize were from The Twilight Zone. So that's got to be my number two choice, I think.
I used to watch, like, whenever the marathons were on, you know, when I was a kid, I would just stay up watching them, like, all my, you know. Of course, they'd always have, like, the freakier ones on, like, 2 in the morning, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be trying to fall asleep at like 3:30 after like a slot machine fucking killed somebody, and it's like, oh.
I'd be brilliant watching the one where you have the crazy eyed woman saying "Room for one more, honey," like at 2:30 in the morning, and then I'd have a nightmare. And I was like, I'm afraid to dream about pretty girls because they always want to seem to kill me, or something like that.
Yeah, me and one of our listeners, CJ, we actually watched that episode like together at the same time once, because I was trying to force that small-minded shallow fool to watch some stuff in black and white, and somehow I got a ridiculous, weak, pathetic excuse for a human to watch a few episodes, so that was fun.
Yeah, you made someone who's opposed to black and white watch The Twilight Zone. That's a major accomplishment there.
I think you watched like 10 episodes or something like that, so, but you know, it's easy once you pick out a few good ones, and it's easy to get somebody to keep watching something when they've seen that it's good. And it doesn't matter that the film they were shot on was black and white.
Had I known you were doing that, I would have forwarded in that blog I wrote a few years back, which has like my top 25 favorite Twilight Zone episodes. I would just shot it over to them, like, here you go, here's a checklist, just go through these and you're set.
It's fun to watch with my kids too. I mean, I like to pick out ones that are a little bit spookier and have them watch that, because my daughter especially likes to watch stuff like that before bed for some reason, so it's always fun to do that. And then I'll tuck her in, and like one thing that we did for a while is like when I tucked her in, I would like pretend that like she'd like fall through her could add him to the fourth dimension, and I would, like, you know, bang on the wall and pretend I was drawing on and stuff like that, like in the episode Little Girl Last, and it's always funny. or she'd, you know, make a joke about, like, you know, if she falls into, like, you know, hold on to the cat, and the cat would, like, lead me to her. So.
Lovely. And also with the Twilight Zone, there's also lighter episodes you can also watch with them, too, that are kind of whimsical and fun. I mean, to me, it's one of the things that makes that show so great, is that you can have shows that are like that, episodes that were like that, you know.
Oh, yeah, my favorite episode is, you know, one of those, A World of Its Own, because, I mean, that's definitely not, like, you know, particularly dark. It's just...
Well, there you go. Also, I should also make a point of saying that my all-time favorite writer wrote directly for the Twilight Zone and or some of his short stories were adapted, usually by him, actually always by him, not usually, always by him, for the Twilight Zone as well, Richard Matheson, including Little Girl Lost, as a matter of fact. So either be Nightmare at 20,000 Feet or that one or several other ones. And A World of His Own is also, I believe, a Richard Matheson one, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. Hope I'm not wrong.
Vicky, have you watched many of the classic Twilight Zone episodes, or do you prefer like the 2001 series or whatever?
I actually, you're going to get mad, but I have not seen a whole lot of Twilight Zone.
Oh, banned. Anyway, just busy watching Doctor Who.
Well, watch some.
Well, there's a holiday coming up where you can be pretty sure you can find any number of Twilight Zone episodes. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be working most of the day.
Well, that's fine. Whatever. Tape the damn thing. Or if you have Netflix, they're all on Netflix anyway.
That's true. I should say they're probably on Netflix or something.
And also, they're mostly 22 minutes long, so we're not talking about a major time commitment. So watch a few here and there and everywhere and see how it influenced everything that you're... Pretty much every show you mentioned. Yeah. No Twilight Zone, no Lost. Sorry. my third choice, I think... I'll be somewhat inspired by Vicky coming out of nowhere with Leverage. This isn't really out of nowhere for me, but it's not going to be a serial, much like the Twilight Zone, it's not going to be a serialized story either. I'm going to say Columbo is my third choice, because I can watch any episode of Columbo from the 70s, and I will enjoy it immensely. It doesn't matter if I've seen it 3 times or 33 times. It's just, it's so perfect to watch. It makes me smile every time. I miss Peter Falk like no tomorrow. He's just so great on that show. So I think I'm going to go with Columbo as my third choice. So,
I forgot. Did you ever watch the Wim Wenders movie where like he played like himself, like playing?
No, I've never. I know the movie, but I've never seen it. I think we even spoke about this a few years ago. Yeah. And I think I promised you I'd watch it, and I never did.
So. Yeah, one of these days. It's a really good movie on its own, but you definitely would appreciate that aspect of it as well.
Oh, that's great. I mean, Peter Falk, I mean, I have seen him in other things over the years. You know, he's definitely had several movie roles. He's in a Twilight Zone. He's in at least one or two Twilight Zone episodes. He's in two that I know of. One I don't really like very much, and the other one's okay. So it connects, I guess. But it's an iconic role. And... it's also when I watch current shows occasionally that aren't very serialized in nature. Maybe they're more standalone things, almost more like procedurals. And I start thinking, you know, I wish they could kind of figure out a way to follow the Columbo template, and this show would be so much better. And I don't know why they don't do that. I would also apply that to both shows that are either made in the U.S. or the U.K. that involve a certain Sherlock Holmes character. Both shows could learn a lot from just going back and watching Columbo, which is infinitely better than either of those two shows, quite frankly.
And it's the kind of thing, I mean, like, even now this is an odd little thing, but I'm a member of a cross-country ski trail group, and last year, like, there was a couple instances where, like, stupid, dumb, pig-fucking rednecks, like, drove their trucks out onto the trail and tore it up a little bit. And the president of the group, like, he was out there, like, doing some investigating, like, trying to figure out who, you know, like, who it did, and he went out there one night just trying to, like, figure it out and stuff, but I guess he spent a lot of work investigating it, and then when we had our annual fundraising banquet, They gave him a they bought him a like a Columbo trench coat and like made like you know print like made this big like Columbo type like investigation like report thing and then you know made him like walk around with it on the whole time. So it was you know it's the kind of thing where you know it was cool.
Yeah, the great thing about Columbo just the name itself, it still holds such an iconic weight where you can watch any movie or another TV show and the most common detective reference they'll make if they're going to say, hey, check out whatever. They're not going to say, check out Joe Friday over there. They might say Jim Rockford every once in a while, but it's not very common. I know they did that in a Sopranos episode once, but that was because the creator of the Sopranos actually used to write for the Rockford Files. The most common one you'll ever hear, still to this day, is Columbo. You don't got to be Columbo over here. He's basically the modern era's version of saying, you don't got to be Sherlock Holmes or something, I always thought, so... And, you know, you can also see its influence on everything. I mean, even a show like Luther with Idris Elba, the creators credit Columbo being one of their major influences. And they even said the idea of him wearing that coat all the time, at least the first few seasons of Luther, was supposed to be their tip of the hat to Columbo wearing a trench coat all the time. Although I would say Idris Elba's coat is a lot more stylish than Columbo's raincoat ever was. So, you know, moving away from, you know, our favorites, you know, of all time, another thing that I see that gets brought up in conversations pretty much every group, whether it be our group on Sirius TV Drama Podcast or when we're on other group pages for other podcasts and whatever, it's a common phrase that we hear a lot. It's called the best show you're not watching. You know, a lot of writers do that kind of a thing. I know Alan Sepinwall does that sometimes where he tries to bring attention to a TV show he thinks, you know, there's just not enough people out there watching. Heck, it makes me think of what Siskel and Ebert used to do back in the 80s and 90s where they would deliberately focus on these smaller independent movies that they or recommendations for these smaller movies that they felt no one had ever seen and they're trying to give more attention to. So it's kind of like now this is like the TV version of it. And I know that gets even more difficult nowadays because the last several years we've been in this era of what they kind of call peak TV, I guess is the phrase, because there's just too much TV to watch out there, especially of a certain quality between all the streaming services and pay cable and basic cable. I mean, I guess a few things on the network, but not that many. So I thought I would ask you guys because, you know, you watch some TV. I know, Dan, you don't have as much time to watch TV as you used to, but you still manage over the last year or two to watch some things. I wanted to ask you guys, you know, similar kind of question. Like, what do you think are the what show or shows, I mean, if you have three, you can do another top three if you like, it's up to you. What show do you think just isn't getting the love or attention that maybe it deserves? What are your best shows you're not everyone else doesn't seem to be watching if you wanted to try to pimp for a show or two or three out there. So, Vicky, I'll knock it back to you. If you want me to stall and give you a bit more time to think, I can ramble for another minute, but I'm pretty sure you probably have a couple, you know, right at the front of your mind to come up with there.
Yeah, I do.
You know, Chicago Hope, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Law and Order Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, God. No, I've got two shows. The first I want to say is Pitch, the drama on Fox about the first female pitcher in MLB. I you know, obviously I was interested because, you know, it has a female main character, but I think it's really cool because, again, this is something that has not happened yet. Pretty much, you know, the major sports are male only for the most part, you know, like, you know, women have, you know, have their own leagues, but, you know, they're separate. So it's just interesting to see the dynamics of them, you know, crossing that where they have to, you know, accommodate her in the changing room and stuff and just all these firsts and stuff. So I don't hear a whole lot of people talking about it, but I definitely think that it's worth a watch.
Well, Susan B. Anthony over here. It's funny, I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, you know, Pitch is kind of like Vicky on our podcast, where we have to have her in a separate room. And no, I'm just kidding. It's funny you should mention Pitch, because I am not lying when I say this. I just finished binging the season only had 10 episodes.
Yeah.
I binged the final 7 over the last week or so, because they just stockpiled in my DVR. I just never got back to them. So it's quite fresh in my mind.
While I haven't watched it, I last week I'm just like, huh, I wonder about that. Wonder if that female pitcher baseball show got canceled or something, because I haven't, and then I didn't know what it was called, so I didn't ask anybody.
It's on the bubble. It's one of those shows that may or may not come back. Its ratings were, It's not highly rated, but then again, you could say that about a lot of shows on the Fox network in general. It's kind of in that same ballpark as some of them. So I could see a way it could be brought back, because it's got a very strong connection with Major League Baseball, who has a definite interest in keeping that show on. But I feel it's not a cheap show to make. So that could also adversely impact it as well. I'll just say there's things I really like about it, and there's things I really don't like about the show. So I can't make up my. I mean, I definitely watched all 7, so I liked it enough to keep watching it. And I understand what you're saying. I mean, Vicky, it's a unique. Well, obviously it's a unique show, because this is something that hasn't actually happened in you know, reality as of yet. You know what my problem is with the show though?
Mm.
It's her, actually. Yeah. That I tend to like other characters more than I like her on the show, and her behavior and her attitude at times kind of annoys me. So, which is, you know, that's fine. I don't expect her to be perfect. It would be weird if she was, but sometimes she kind of bugs me, and it's maybe because I'm a baseball fan. And that's probably one of the reasons I like watching the show, because it kind of keeps baseball alive for me a little bit. But sometimes she does and says things, and I'm like going, hey, you know what? You're like the number 5 starter on the team. So you need to simmer down now a little bit. You know. So it's a weird show in that sense. But I do like it enough to keep watching it, though.
Yeah. And then the other show I want to... wanted to say that people need to watch is The Middle. It's a comedy on ABC, you know, about a family that lives in basically, like, you know, Nowheresville, Indiana, what they call flyover territory. And I just think it's funny, and it's realistic about, you know, what a lot of families have to go through and stuff.
Is that the one that's got Patricia Heaton on it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And the guy, I can't remember the actor's name, he played the janitor on Scrubs.
Neil something, I can't remember his last name. But yeah, and like, it's obviously a comedy, and it has its really funny moments, but it can have, you know, some, you know, poignant and, like, important and you know... It can have its drama, too.
Excellent.
Yeah. Have either of you guys watched it at all?
My mom watches it, but I haven't. I don't watch a lot of comedies.
I've never gotten a chance to watch it, although I do like some of the people involved. And maybe I let some of my own personal bias feed into this, because Patricia Heaton was one of those people that I really liked her on Everybody Loves Raymond, but whenever I would hear her in an interview, I kept going, oh, I like you better when I don't hear you outside of a TV show. And, you know, she's got, which is, you know, she's on the conservative side, and there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes she could be annoying. It's kind of, she's not as bad as, say, a Tim Allen is, but she's a little bothersome for me. But I wouldn't mind checking it out one of these days, if it's available on a streaming service I can access or something like that. You know, just to see what it's about. So, good choice. Kind of did not see that one coming. It's a nice one. Since you only want to do 2, which is fair, Dan, is there anything that comes to your mind?
I don't watch a lot of TV that a lot of people don't watch for the most part, but I guess the only thing that really comes to mind that I watch that not a lot of people watch that they really should is probably Rectify. It's over and done with now. Like, the final episode aired a week ago.
Yep.
Today's Wednesday. So, it's the kind of thing where, if you haven't watched it, just watch it. It won't take you a lot of time. I think it's on Netflix. There aren't a lot of fucking episodes. And I mean, that it's just a kind of, it's just unlike anything I really think I've seen, but it still manages to be has a little bit of a mystery and just really strong emotional pull. And it's the kind of thing that's just, it's unpredictable, but it's not unpredictable in like a, hey, look at this big twist we're doing for ratings card away. It's just like, oh, life is a fucking mess. This isn't going to play out like a cliche drama. Like, oh, so you expect something to happen because you've seen so much fucking TV, but then it doesn't happen. And you're just like, oh, okay. I remember this happened to my fucking uncle or something, So it just feels more realistic, and it's just so well done, really nicely done.
Right. Rectify is, to me, I think Rectify is like poetry for me. And it's not always an easy sell to convince someone to watch it when they hear what it's about, especially if they hear any of the comments about it. It's not a plot-driven show by any stretch of the imagination. It takes its time. It's almost more of a meditation, I think how I've referred to it at times. But it's everything you said. It's something unlike anything I've ever seen on television before, and I don't think I'll ever see anything like that on television ever again. And it's criminal how it's been overlooked in some ways. I'm not saying this is a show that should be getting, Walking Dead style ratings or anything like that. I'm not even talking about that. I just think it's a shame that this is a show that any critic who talks about television will always have Rectify in their top 5 or top 10 for the year and will rave about it, pretty much. Yet, it's gotten no love during award season with the Emmys or Globes or any of the other TV award shows, which is insane. If you've watched the show, it's like, how does the main actor, Aidan Young, not have ever been nominated? And his work this last season was extraordinary. Again, I've never seen a performance like that, especially in the last few episodes. I doubt I'll ever see anything like that again. So, I think the entire show adds up to just 30 episodes, so you can catch the first 22 of them are on Netflix now, and I'm assuming eventually, at some point in time, the final 8 will be there as well. That was the last season, I think, was only 8 episodes, if I'm not mistaken. So that's about as good a recommendation as I could have come up with myself, quite frankly. So perfect show.
Yeah, that's pretty much all. And everything else I watch, for the most part, a lot of people watch, other than The Leftovers, and we've discussed that enough. And enough people in our circles have watched that show, so it got shunned a little bit for it didn't win some awards that it should have won, but it won our STD awards. So
right. And we will be, in about a week, we're going to be doing our best of 2016 stuff, so we'll probably be talking about several shows there as well that might apply here.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations in this category? I know you watch more TV.
I watch entirely too much TV, so it's kind of insane. Well, I think enough people at this point in time know about and watch The Americans, so I'm not going to use that, but I don't think nearly enough people have given Halt and Catch Fire a shot. That's one of the only television series I can think of that gets better from season to season. I mean, season 2 is much better than season 1, and oh my god, season 3 I think is better than season 2. It's gotten exponentially better. If you like shows that have, it's another show that really does a nice balance of plot and character. So it's got a, so if you like shows in the Mad Men, Breaking Bad kind of vein, this is kind of a little bit of a synthesis of that. If you like shows that've got a little bit of a period feel, like the 80s, like The Americans does, this show definitely has that as well. Some really good performances, some very strong female characters, if that's your bag, if that's what you want to focus on. but a lot of great supporting parts and characters on that show as well. It's I'm thankful that AMC has renewed it for one more season. And, you know, I think they deserve a salute for keeping this show on the air for what'll end up being four seasons when it was known to be one of the lowest rated shows they'd ever had on that channel. But unlike some shows, they, for whatever reason, stuck with it. So Halt and Catch Fire would be the first one that came to my mind. And Dan, you're actually the one who got me to watch it after the first season. So I credit you with getting me hooked onto that show. So well done there, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know how I ended up watching it the first night it was on, but I got hooked pretty quick. And the show definitely, yeah, you're like you said, it seems to just keep getting better and better. So
yeah, I mean, there,
and it's the kind of thing too where it's like, you know, there's a lot of characters and it's just difficult to know how to think about them at the end of an episode. Sometimes you're on one person's side and they do something shitty, and then you just kind of try to figure out, you know, like it's just one of those things that just it's complex and hard, and gives you something to think about.
You finished the last season, right? You watched the whole last season.
Oh yeah.
Okay, well, and I don't want to give anything away for anyone who may choose to check it out, but there are episodes and scenes in this last season which are just tremendous, which are just the tension, the acting, the writing. One episode in particular is like, wow, that's like one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen, period. How can I be watching this and I can't talk about it with like 20 other people the next day because...
Yeah,
18 of them aren't watching the show. So that would be like my number one recommendation for the best show no one's watching kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just one of those shows where like the casting director just fucking nailed it. You know, whoever, they just managed to like end up with just like a plethora of riches. And, you know, if it wasn't for the show having like a really lame fucking name, that thing that probably didn't help it. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember like, you know, like whatever the show is named, it was... I mean, that really didn't, like, have much of an effect on, like, anything. It was just, like, some, like, computer programming thing that, like, I don't remember them doing anything with after the first episode,
right.
So...
Right. The title is confusing, and so then... And that's a problem for people, like, so they want... You know, it's kind of like... It's like the Shawshank Redemption situation. Because there was always a story that the Shawshank Redemption didn't do well in theaters when it was released because people couldn't make heads or tails of what the title was. And that's just, it became one of those really funny things because over the last 25 years, of the movies that have been released in the last 25 years, Shawshank Redemption is probably very near the top of most beloved movies in that time period. I mean, it's probably one of the most watched movies on cable for the last 25 years, quite frankly. I think TNT just spent all the time showing that movie at one point in time, it felt like. it became the Shawshank Channel. And you realize, this movie didn't make hundreds of millions of dollars? Like, no, because... And people say it's because of the title. And it's like, really? The title? But something like that can make a difference, especially like on a movie marquee or when someone's looking up something in their DVR. I mean, I actually like the title, Halt and Catch Fire, but it doesn't tell me anything about what the show is, so it becomes confusing as a result. I mean,
I don't mind it either.
I don't know what would have been a good title. Control, Alt, Delete? I don't know. But speaking of shows that have a good title, the only other show I would mention here, I'll do like Vicky, I'll just do two. This might have a few more people watching it than say Halt and Catch Fire, but it still deserves to be watched by everyone, as far as I'm concerned. I'm gonna go with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, show that me and Jason have talked about on the podcast a couple times this year. It's for my money. The most fun show that's on TV right now on any service, be it pay cable, basic cable, network, streaming, whatever. There is no show that's more fun than Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and yet still be able to have really serious moments or situations go on the show as well, especially in this current season. I cannot speak highly enough about that show. And... if you had told me a couple years ago, hey, there's going to be this show on the CW and it's going to be a musical comedy about a girl who's kind of got some relationship issues, to put it mildly, And I was like, why are you telling me about this? Everything you've mentioned, I hate. And it's like one of my favorite shows on TV. It's just so well done. That would be my... Everyone should make a point of putting that in their DVR and watching it. Catch up on it on Netflix, because I think you can catch the previous season on Netflix there. It's such a good show. It's so good.
It really is. I love that show.
It's we've mentioned this before, Vicky. I find it funny that we those of us here, we do our podcast, especially over the last few months, where we're focusing on, now we're focusing on four different CW shows, right? All the superhero shows. And I think it's interesting, like, you know what's interesting is that I can think of like three other CW shows I watch, some of which aren't on yet. They'll be back next year. They're all sort of kind of better than the superhero shows we watch overall. I mean, I would say Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, iZombie, and The 100 are probably better than Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow, and even Supergirl. I mean, just overall, I just think the writing's a bit better, the character stuff is a bit better. Not that I don't like our superhero stuff, you know, we're podcasting about it, but those are better shows, I think. That's just my opinion. And most critics' opinions too, but mine. All right, so one last thing before we start to wrap up our impromptu podcast here. Since it's the holiday season, and hopefully we will be releasing this before people out there are unwrapping either their Christmas or Hanukkah presents. Yeah, like anyone's opening Hanukkah presents here. Sure. Anyway. I was curious if anyone had in mind what their favorite Christmas movie or put in both, I would, Christmas TV special. Because I actually have no idea what you guys would pick for this. So, Vicky, and I'm expecting something like that's really, really heavily religious from you. So, you know, the Passion of the... No, just kidding. What would your choices be?
My favorite Christmas movies are It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas.
White Christmas? Really?
Yeah. I never really saw it until like a couple of years ago. And I just love it.
I'm trying to remember. There was the movie White Christmas.
Irving Berlin.
Right. I'm just trying to get my movie and / old song knowledge together. But I think the song White Christmas was first in another movie before White Christmas, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. I feel like it was like, might have been like Holiday Inn or something like that, where Bing Crosby first sings White Christmas, and then they did a movie called White Christmas after that. I might be totally wrong about that. And it doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect your choice at all, of course, duh. But I'm just trying to remember which one. But as a result, I get confused. Which one is White Christmas and which one is the movie where it originally appears? But I think it shows all the events at a hotel over the course of a year or something like that. Who else is in White Christmas?
I can't remember the names off the top of my head.
Bad podcast. No, just kidding.
I know.
Don't you love when you get pop quizzed on a podcast? Like,
yeah.
And did you have a favorite, like TV special? You know, most of them came out in the '60s. I think at least all the really good ones did. But do you have one in mind that was like your favorite?
No, I don't think I do.
Wow. How do you not have a favorite?
I don't know. That's really weird. I just can't think of any, you know, off of the top of my head.
Do you want me to start listing them off the top of my head and see if one of them pops up for you? I mean, they're kind of famous, you know. There's the one with the comic strip characters with the kids and the dog. Then there's the one with the green creature. Then there's the one with the reindeer. Then there's the one with Santa. Then there's the one with the snowman. There's a whole bunch.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of enjoy them all equally.
All right. So that's basically her way of saying I'd rather just get up at 5:30 in the morning and watch Davy and Goliath. I wonder how many people even remember who Davy and Goliath are. Dan, what would your choices be?
For a movie, I don't know. This is it's not a Christmas movie, but Casablanca is my favorite Christmas movie. Just because I've only watched it on Christmas, and I've watched it the last three Christmases after I went, like, I go away for the day and do some, like, hiking and stuff, you know, in a different state a few hours away, and then I come home, make a little food, and I watch Casablanca. So it's became a, you know, I'll be doing it again in a few days.
It became your fourth
year in a row.
It became your holiday tradition. That's cool.
Yeah,
I can't argue about that. I mean, you know my love for that.
It kind of ties to Christmas too, a time where my house is white, and that's what the name Casablanca means, white house. So you know, it fits.
Okay.
I'm sure there's some other connections, but you know, I mean, Christmas is kind of like, you know, it's always had a kind of like an air of romance to it for me, even now when I'm just kind of like, you know. No, like actual romance, but it's still just kind of like has a general air over it, since, like, you know, the religious type aspect doesn't really do anything for me at this point, but just the whole, you know, general atmosphere of it is just like, you know, I'm a big fan of it. So once the you know, once music starts playing and stuff like that, I get involved in the whole thing, and you know, Casablanca just kind of fits with that, you know, general thing, even though it's, you know,
if you decide to watch it this Christmas, on the 25th, let me know, and I'll put on my copy on the same time, so we can pretend like we're watching it together, which sounds really gay now that I said that out loud. But anyway,
Vicky, do you want to watch it too? Make it a fucking three way.
Oh gosh,
that would be the right response. and do you have a, especially since you have kids, it might make it more interesting, maybe, I don't know. Do you have a choice for, say, favorite TV, generally animated, I guess they're usually animated, I guess, special of any kind? I mean, I know what I think your pick would be, but it might not necessarily be that one. I don't know.
No, my mom has played the fuck out of those things for the last zillion years, so I'm done with all of them. I'll pick the Twilight Zone episode Night of the Meek, which makes me, like, tear up heavily, like, every single time, even though it's, you know, it's just really, really good. It's really solid. It's shot on video, so it has kind of an odd look to it, but the story manages to be very, like, just very effective. And, you know, and just it's sad, melancholy, bittersweet, but it's, you know, just it gets me every time. So it's not a Christmas special, but it's on TV, so it's close enough.
Well, I hate that you pick things that are better than what I came up with. So you pick one of my all-time favorite Twilight Zone episodes, and you pick my all-time favorite scripted movie, a script for a movie, whatever, so I certainly can't knock either one of those choices. Gosh darn it. Wow. Night of the Meek. I even like the remake version of Night of the Meek, which I have on DVD also, where it's Richard Mulligan, who old-time classic TV fans will remember. He played Burt Campbell on Soap, and he was also on the TV show Empty Nest, I think, was the sitcom. He was like the father on that show. But he's mostly best known for Soap, whatever. He had the part that was played by Art Carney in the remake they did. And they pretty much did a very faithful cover of it for the new Twilight Zone. But yeah, the version with Art Carney, it's just, yeah, it gets me every time. It's kind of perfect. I wish I'd
Yeah, Vicky, you should give that a shot. I think Twilight Zone's still on Netflix, so if you want to take 20-some minutes and
you look up the Night of the Meek episode. That's a really good one. And for anyone who's been on our Facebook page, if you take a look at the big background cover photo, whatever we call that thing, and which I made, I comprised of different holiday TV episode images this year. One of them is actually a close-up of Art Carney from Night of the Meek, because that I had to put that in there. You had to put that in there. For me, I guess I'm going to go more traditional, just for like my number one choice. I think It's a Wonderful Life is by far my favorite Christmas, holiday, whatever you want to call it, movie. It's a movie that the more I watched it as I got older, I gained a different understanding of the film. And I realized there's a lot more going on with it than I thought there was when I was a kid watching it. I mean, I remember being a kid and being tired of that movie, because it was on. We would put it on every year, and it was. And the copyright had run out on it at a certain point, so TV could, it was being run into the ground. It was on like 15 times every December at one point. But now when I watch it, I realize, oh, there's a lot more going on here. And it's actually, it's a surprisingly dark movie in a lot of ways. And when you really, if you watch it, when you realize, oh, there's a lot of chances this movie takes. And it's definitely one of the best Jimmy Stewart performances. I mean, I put this one right up there. I put it right up, right alongside Vertigo and a few of his other really great iconic performances. It's, and it's why you realize Jimmy Stewart is just the icon that he is. So that would definitely be my number one choice. After that, I probably wouldn't. I mean, yeah. I mean, I could say something like, "Hey, Die Hard" or something like that.
Yeah, I'm so sick of people talking about Die Hard every Christmas here. It's just like, "Hey, look at me! I'm like smart and like I'm on the internet, so I'm just going to talk about Die Hard being my Christmas movie." It's just like,
I mean, it is a Christmas movie,
but I'm just like, and just, you know, yeah, but it's just like people say it because they're like trying to earn fucking cred, even if they don't fucking give a shit. So
yeah, well. Fortunately, I wasn't going to pick it anyway, so because I am...
Oh, yeah, I expect better of you. Yeah. I wasn't so sure about Vicky, but...
I've never seen it.
Jesus Christ.
What?
I know.
My God. I don't...
Vicky? Oh. Vicky, do you have any... Vicky, do you want to come up... If you want to come up here on Christmas Day, we can go snowshoeing, and then we can watch some movies.
Can we replace her with CJ? Anyway, actually, I'm going to step outside the movies that are traditionally Christmas or holiday movies a little bit. Not as far as you do with Casablanca, of course. But I'll pick one that I used to watch around Christmas a lot because there's one scene in it that is Christmas related. It's not a Christmas movie, but there's one scene or sequence which definitely takes place around the holidays because one of the main characters is dressed up in a Santa outfit, and one of my all-time favorite comedy moments involves that character in that outfit. And it's Trading Places, the movie from the 80s with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. It's still, to this day, I think, one of the funniest movies ever made. It's Eddie Murphy at the top of his game before he started to not be so funny. It's the best movie I think Dan Aykroyd's ever appeared in. Yes, better than movies I don't want to get into because I don't want to get into a thing with Dan right now. But I think it's the best comedy movie he's ever been in, quite frankly. I think it's John Landis, one of his one or two best movies he's ever directed. There's so many great people throughout that film. It's, if you haven't seen Trading Places, if you're like Vicky, who probably hasn't.
Actually, I have.
Look at that.
I haven't, but I agree that it's better than Ghostbusters.
Okay, I don't. We're not going to get into that because that, I don't want to.
I'm agreeing with you. Damn it!
All right.
Merry Christmas.
All right, but it's such a funny movie. It's so well done. It's just like a little bit of perfection, and I even have a little bit of sentimentality about it because the last act of the movie takes place in a part of New York. I'm deliberately talking about it to not give anything away in case there's actually someone other than Dan who hasn't seen it, whatever. It's actually where my father used to work when I was a little kid, the Commodities Exchange in New York. And I've actually been there. So when I see it in the movie, it kind of like, oh, look at that. I remember being there. It's so weird. But such a good, funny movie. And because there is that Santa sequence in it, I've always kind of in my mind associated with Christmas. I don't think it qualifies, but I would rather watch that any day of the week over A Christmas Story or Home Alone or any of the other modern day supposedly holiday theme movies, which I could take or leave, quite frankly.
But I cannot stand A Christmas Story.
I've never seen it, and I don't want to, and everybody hassles me for never having seen it. I'm just like, I just don't fucking need to.
I think it's somewhat wildly overrated. The only thing I really like about A Christmas Story is the fact that it has Darren McGavin in it. But that's because I love Darren McGavin from Kolchak the Night Stalker. But the movie just feels like, whatever. I never really liked it very much. And when, I think it was TNT or someone, again, it's always TNT.
Yeah, they do the 24 hours.
Where I was like, oh, so you've just guaranteed 24 hours I will not be turning on your network. So, well done. Yeah.
That's the main reason I do not like it. Because I think, because I think one year we, for some reason, ended up head on, just like on a loop and stuff. And I'm just like, after that, I'm like, nope, can't stand it.
Yeah, I think Vicky, I think a few months ago, and you told me that once your sister watched it for 24 hours straight and enjoyed the entire.
Oh boy. Oh, and as far as favorite Christmas animated, you know, special, whatever, because I won't cheat and pick a special episode of a show, although it's hard to beat Night of the Meat, goddamn you. You know what? I got to go with the first one, the big one, because it's just music alone makes it almost head to tails above everything else as far as I'm concerned. So I got to go with a Charlie Brown Christmas. And this coming from someone who has no religious basis to his life as far as the Christian faith or what have you, but doesn't mind Linus quoting the Bible in a very long passage in the special, because it's just right for that show. I mean, that's also the first animated Charlie Brown thing, so it's kind of it started everything off. And yeah, it's hard to beat the Vince Guaraldi Trio music that's throughout that thing. I mean, that's about as classic as it gets music-wise, I think. So that's probably going to be my choice. It just because of all that, it kind of edges out the Grinch for me. So I would go to Charlie Brown Christmas. All right. I think that we've covered as much as we could possibly somewhat improvise here before we all start, you know, stammering and stuttering and just having dull spaces of nothingness between our conversations. So I'm thinking maybe I should start wrapping things up here. Make sense, guys?
Sounds good.
That's good.
No. I mean, yes.
Unless there's something else. I mean, is there anything else that we wanted to talk about tonight, or should we just save it for another time? I think we've covered everything.
Is there anything you guys like to eat, like, around Christmas? Like, you just like to eat it?
I started making my own peppermint bark the last couple of years.
How do you do that exactly? I mean, you don't have to do the whole recipe, but, you know.
You melt, like, chocolate almond bark or chocolate chips or whatever, baking chocolate or whatever. Let it solidify, whether, you know, in the fridge or outside if it's cold enough.
Or if you're on a cooking show, you put it in the blast chiller.
Yeah. Do the same with, like, white chocolate or almond bark, and then put in, like, crushed up peppermint.
It's a shame I don't like mint very much, otherwise I bet that would be really delicious for someone like me.
Yeah, and then also the holiday staple of our family is Christmas Stolen. Family recipe. It's so good.
Christmas what?
Christmas what? Stolen. It's like... It's kind of like fruitcake, but not. It's got like almonds and raisins and stuff in it. I think we went through the three loaves my mom made in about a week.
And since it's Chicago, is it like 40 inches thick or something?
Oh my lord. As for me, I can't really think of anything offhand other than I'm sure between now and the 25th I'll have eaten a few Reese's Christmas trees probably. I think most years I tend to on Christmas Eve I tend to hang out with my best friend and her husband. Sometimes it might be another person joining us depending on what's going on in my life. From my mind, I think I associate Christmas Eve with one of two things. Either we would go out, which meant Chinese food, you know, and even though, you know, I might be the only quote-unquote Jewish person there, but that's where we went. Or if we were eating in, she usually would make baked ziti. So for some reason, baked ziti has become, like, in my mind, like the Christmas Eve food, as opposed to, like, what a family eat, like ham or turkey or roast, I don't know, like goose. But nothing else really comes to mind as much for the holidays for me, quite frankly. Dan, what about you?
Yeah. Since the last 3 years, I don't have my kids on Christmas Day. I have them on Christmas Eve, so I'll go out and do stuff with them in my dad's house that night. But on Christmas Day, since it's one of the 2 days a year that work is closed, I tend to try to just avoid the family, large family with like 500 fucking kids drama and stuff, and I just go away and do something on my own. So I, you know, like I said before, I leave the state and I go hiking and stuff. And since it's Christmas Day, then my what I eat is limited to what my options are. So 3 years ago, I had Burger King for Christmas dinner. And then 2 years ago, I had a gas station cheeseburger at a gas station in Ironwood, Michigan, for my Christmas dinner. And it, I've grown to just like, you know, you said with the baked ziti, even though that's better. I've kind of grown to associate like these, like, you know, weird foods that are, you know, not known to be the greatest, but they taste pretty good when you've had like a, you know, long morning traipsing through the snow. And, you know, it's just like, you know, it's a... just like a $3 gas station cheeseburger that somebody fucking microwaved there, but it managed to hit the spot.
I love that one thing we've learned on this podcast is that you go out of your way to have the most unconventional traditions for Christmas, which I seems really appropriate for you. So between your movie choice and your food choice, Do you dress up in like, you know, like in a bathing suit with a fur stole or something as well, just a, like non-traditional clothing or something?
No, not quite. I just,
of course not. Stupid post midnight joke. Anyway. All right. So let's wrap the sucker up before it gets even weirder. So if you enjoyed this different than usual podcast, you might enjoy our different than usual podcast page, which is the Serious TV Drama Podcast on Facebook. You type that in, you can like the page and join the conversation about any number of TV shows and other matters we discuss there. You can also find us on iTunes, the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed as well as rate and review us there. 5-star ratings are always appreciated. 1-star, not so much. And you can follow us on the Twitter. We're at STVD Podcast. That's STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. Send out links and make occasional comments on, you know, stuff. And usually we're trying to get some star from another TV show, so at least like a tweet. So we go like, oh, look, that means they someone read our tweet. Probably their assistant, probably not them, but who cares? And Vicky, I know I neglected to cut to you as far as how you're helping to promote the podcast with the website that you're working for right now. So why don't we talk about that right now?
So I've been sharing our podcasts on popculthq.com.
You've been doing that, and you're also you're writing a little bit of articles for them, I saw.
Yeah, doing some stuff here and there.
It took me a moment to figure out that you were writing under a pseudonym. That's what kind of threw me. Now it's like, if the cosplaying isn't bad enough, now she's using assumed names for stuff.
Well, you know, just, I...
I know. I know. That's where we'll find the secret curse words. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Vicky, what swear word do you most associate with the holiday season?
Fool.
Oh, you're so funny.
What? What did you? What you said? You said fuck.
I said, "Oh, you're so funny, Dan."
Oh, okay.
You know that could have been her Christmas present to us if she actually cursed.
Hey, Vicky, just take your thumb and forefinger, stick your tongue out, grab onto your tongue, and then say the word apples. Okay. Just do it.
No.
I'm trying to figure out.
Please.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but so thanks for writing articles and helping promote the podcast, Vicky. It's nice that you're willing to help out other than just showing up and being drunk the entire time we record.
Exactly. I've got to do my part.
Excellent. All right, and we will be doing, at least Dan and I should be getting back together next week to do, again, our Best of 2016 podcast, where we'll talk about our respective list for our favorite shows of 2016. We'll probably throw in a few other little things there as well, as we are wont to do in these matters. And other than that, I want to thank you guys for, unlike those other two, being willing to come together for this podcast tonight. And I also wanted to wish you and our listeners a Merry Christmas or whatever holiday you guys out there celebrate, whether it be Hanukkah or any other wacky ones that I can't think of off the top of my head. Happy holidays to everybody out there.
Happy holidays.
Yes. Happy holidays.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow.